WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's mostly sunny and 68 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly sunny here today with a high of 85. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. And our news is brought to you this hour by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. In Southwest Iowa news, a custodian of the Creston Community School District charged with the felony sexual abuse of a person between the ages of 12 and 13 has been fired from his position. 36-year-old Eduardo Medina was released from his employment with the district at Monday night's meeting of the Creston School District's Board of Education. Medina had been suspended last week after school officials received word he may have had improper contact with a former student. According to online court records, Medina was arrested May the 15th on a Class C felony charge of sexual abuse in the third degree. His court-appointed attorney waived Medina's preliminary hearing. Medina was ordered to have no contact with the alleged victim and was being held at the Union County Jail on $10,000 bond. News time is 8:04.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window, as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
After a record runoff and flooding on the Missouri River last year, it appears river flows this year will be below normal. Jody Farhat is chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Office for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in Omaha. Farhat says their predictions will be welcome news to those who had flood damage last year.
Our runoff forecast for the 2012 calendar year above Sioux City, Iowa, is 21.6 million acre feet, which is 87% of normal, and this is based on the lack of plain snowpack, the lower than average mountain snowpack, and the unusually warm and dry conditions that we've had so far this year.
Farhat says the Corps will be able to maintain normal flows on the river until at least July the 1st.
We're currently providing full-service navigation flow support. If the total system storage falls below 57 million acre feet on July 1st, flow support will be reduced for the second half of the navigation season.
Farhat says some normal signs of life are also returning to the river, including two types of endangered birds.
To date, 51 piping plover nests have been located, with the highest number of nests on Lewis and Clark Lake and on the river reach below Gavin's Point Dam. Very few nests have been found on the new habitat that was created below Gavin's Point Dam due to last year's flood. The first interior least tern was spotted in the basin this week, but no least tern nests have been found.
Last year's flooding of the Missouri River in eastern Nebraska, western Iowa, and northwest Missouri caused hundreds of millions of dollars in damage to homes, businesses, farmland, and infrastructure. The high water lasted for months. Missouri River governors plan to question a top officer for the Army Corps of Engineers about the agency's plans for stopping future floods. North Dakota Governor Jack Dalrymple is hosting today's meeting in Bismarck, North Dakota. The governors of South Dakota and Kansas and lieutenant governors of Nebraska and Iowa plan to attend in person. The governors of Montana and Missouri are listening in by telephone. Brigadier General John McMahon is commander of the region that oversees the management of the Missouri River and its network of dams. He'll be briefing the state officials on the Corps' flood control plans. States along the Missouri River, as we mentioned, sustained hundreds of millions of dollars in flood damage last year. Dalrymple says the governors want to know about federal plans for preventing another disaster. The U.S. Department of Agriculture plans to spend $6 million to improve wildlife habitat, water quality, prevent flooding in the Raccoon and Des Moines River watersheds. The money is part of a project announced Tuesday by Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. The USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service will spend a total of $32 million in seven states in the Mississippi River Basin. It's designed to restore a variety of wetland types from Iowa to Louisiana. Private landowners are asked to apply for funding to help restore wetlands they own. The Iowa project, called the North Raccoon River Wetland Initiative, will be in partnership with the Department of Natural Resources. The projects are designed to prevent sediment and nutrients from entering waterways, decrease flooding, and improve bird and fish habitat. Elsewhere in state news, President Barack Obama will visit Windblade producer TPI Composites in Newton tomorrow. and talk about getting Congress to pass tax credits for clean energy. The CEO of TPI, Steve Lockard, said tens of thousands of manufacturing jobs will be lost if Congress fails to extend the wind energy industry's production tax credit, which is set to expire at the end of this year. Lockard said orders for wind turbines have already started to decline because of the uncertainty surrounding the credit.
There is real risk across the industry, not hollow risk, very real monthly job loss across the industry that is started to happen already and will continue each month through this year if Congress is unable to act quickly on our behalf.
A report released last month indicates Iowa has up to 7,000 people working in the wind industry, which is more than any other state. TPI's blade production plant in Newton employs about 700 people, while another 100 employees make wind turbine towers at Trinity Structural Towers. Lettuce that had been recalled over fears of listeria contamination was served at Iowa City Community School District schools. The district says in a news release that officials were notified about the recall on Monday after much of the lettuce had already been served. The rest won't be used. Federal authorities say there have been no reported illnesses associated with the voluntary recall by River Ranch Fresh Foods of Salinas, California. Symptoms of listeria infection include high fever, headache, and neck stiffness. A former assistant director of ticket operations has pleaded guilty to accusations that he stole money from the University of Northern Iowa. Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier reports that 44-year-old John Gogola of Cedar Falls entered a plea Monday to a single count of theft. He faces up to 10 years in prison when he's sentenced August 13th. Prosecutors are expected to seek a suspended sentence with probation. The defense has said that it will push for a deferred judgment that would take the conviction off of Gogola's record if he were to complete probation successfully. Gogola admitted on Monday that he stole more than $10,000 from the university between January of 2009 and August of 2010. Court records say an audit determined that at least $18,900 had been taken. And two key Republican U.S. senators are raising concerns about the cost of holding a conference for federal judges on Maui this summer. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama and Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa questioned the need to hold the August conference at the Hyatt Regency Maui Resort and Spa, with activities offered including surfing lessons, snorkeling, yoga, and Zumba. Grassley says it's tone-deaf to plan an expensive conference after the controversy surrounding the General Services Administration's lavish 2010 conference in Las Vegas. The Hawaii Tourism Authority defends the islands as being a place to hold productive and quality meetings. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said lodging and airfare costs are comparable to mainland venues, and government funds aren't to be used for recreational activities. And taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, a congressman says a U.S. Airways passenger who claimed to have a surgically implanted device led to a diversion Tuesday of a cross-Atlantic jet was not listed on the terrorist watch lists or law enforcement databases. Representative Peter King, a Republican from New York who chairs the House Homeland Security Committee, said today the woman, whose identity has not been released, was checked through all the databases and her name has not shown up anywhere. The Boeing 767 from Paris to Charlotte, North Carolina was diverted to Bangor, Maine after the woman had handed a note to a flight attendant saying she had a surgically implanted device. King told CNN the woman did not have such a device. A Republican senator said she'll tell a Senate committee today that the Secret Service prostitution scandal was not an isolated event. Senator Susan Collins of Maine said in prepared remarks that ahead of President Barack Obama's Colombia visit last month, several small groups of Secret Service personnel visited clubs, bars, and brothels, and Collins said they engaged in reckless, morally repugnant behavior. Finally in the news, a Pittsburgh area police officer is in hot water for allegedly breaking into his neighbor's home repeatedly to do his laundry. A local television station said the neighbor hadn't been living in the house for months, so he wondered why his electric bill was so high. The neighbor stopped by his house and found Ranklin police officer Jason Rocco's clothes in the running dryer. Rocco was charged with trespassing and criminal mischief. News time is 8:12.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In the funeral announcements, Vera Anderson, age 93, of Audubon and formerly of Exira, died Monday. Funeral services for Vera Anderson will be this morning at 10:30 at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Neoma Ridlin, age 93, of Avoca and formerly of Griswold, died Sunday. Services for Neoma Ridlin will be held Thursday at 10 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Jane Held, age 80, of Fontenelle, died Monday in Greenfield. Funeral services for Jane Held will take place Thursday at 1:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Randy Young, age 48, of Omaha, died Sunday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Celebration of Life services for Randy Young will be held Friday at 10 a.m. at the Eastern Hills Baptist Church in Council Bluffs. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Jerrine Jerry Weiss, age 79, of Manila, died Tuesday at the Manning Healthcare Center. Memorial services for Jerry Weiss will be held Friday at 10:30 at the United Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has the arrangements. James Jim Houston, age 58, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Creighton Medical Center. Funeral services for Jim Houston will be Friday at 11 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. George David Jensen, age 67, of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, died December 10th. Graveside services for George Jensen will be Friday at 2 o'clock at the Harlan Cemetery. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Vivian Reichart Haley, age 72, of Corning, died April 12th. Graveside services for Vivian Reichart Haley will be held Friday at 2:30 at the Victoria Township Cemetery south of Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. June Clemens, age 90, of Brainerd, Minnesota, and formerly of Atlantic, died April 12th. Memorial services for June Clemens will be held Saturday from 10 until 11:30 a.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mary Larson, age 87, of Greenfield, died Monday in Urbandale. A funeral mass for Mary Larson will be Saturday at 10:30 at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. The Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. H. Claire Gill, age 92, of Atlantic and formerly of Anita, died April 14th. Graveside services for Claire Gill will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Evergreen Cemetery in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care in Anita has arrangements. Hazel Cushman, age 95, of McHenry, Illinois, a former Grand River area teacher, died January 7th. A service will be held in memory of Hazel Cushman, June the 2nd, at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter. Richard Norval Dick Cooper, age 66, of Greenfield, died Monday. Funeral services for Dick Cooper are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news and funeral report brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Henson reporting.